we're in a battle. Amen. Not just because the Bible says it, because I think we're just experiencing it on so many levels. Let me tell you, we are in a battle for the souls of mankind, right? Souls of men and women. Word of God tells us in 1 John chapter 5, verse 19, that the whole world lies in wickedness. Amen? The whole world lies in wickedness. You know, I think as Americans, we haven't seen that so much because we were blessed to be raised in at least in our day, while we were growing up, in a nation that identified itself as Christian and that really had a standard of Christian morality that was embedded in the corporate conscience of the people. And so, you know, we didn't see wickedness like Europe saw wickedness or some of the other countries saw wickedness. But we are in a battle for the souls of men because the whole world lies under wickedness. We are in a battle for the soul of a nation. Amen? Hallelujah. You know, we can see now what used to be done in hidden. The enemy is no longer hidden. The enemy is just kind of, you know, if you'll pardon the expression, the enemy's come out of the closet. He's not hiding anymore. He is bold, he is in your face, and we are just seeing demonic principalities and powers really just decimating the moral and spiritual life of our nation. And we are in a battle for our own souls. The fact that Peter would write to the church and he tells them, he says, listen, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walks around seeking whom he may devour. So the enemy's looking to devour you. The enemy's looking to destroy you. It's what he does. And so the Word of God tells us we need to be sober and we need to be vigilant because we are in a battle for the preservation of our very own soul. And you know what? God has seen fit not to take us out of the world, but to equip us with all that is necessary to advance the kingdom in this world. You know, when Jesus prayed that high priestly prayer in John 17, he said, I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that you should keep them from evil. Because evil is in the world. Amen? And we see it again. Evil is cast off restraint. Evil is no longer content to be hidden. It's in your face. And it's present. So God has given us tools, the tools necessary to prevail against the enemy. Thank God. If Jesus, you know, if God's a good God, do people say, well, if God's a good God, you know, he'd take me out of this place. You know, no. God's a good God because he's given you everything you possibly need to live for him and to advance his kingdom in the midst of such wickedness. In Luke, Jesus is speaking. He says, behold. And I love that word, behold. The way I would translate it, coming from like the metro New York area, is like it would be, now look here. Hey, yo, look here. Now look here. Do you ever have someone that, now look here? You know, they really want to get your attention. So Jesus is saying this. He's saying, now look here. I give you power to tread, to trample on serpents and scorpions. And how many of you know he's not talking about natural serpents and scorpions? He's talking about spiritual entities. I've given you the authority. I've given you the what's called the exousia, the strength, the ability, the competency, the authority, the liberty to trample on serpents and scorpions, and over all the power of the enemy. And nothing shall by any means hurt you. Which means he's already saying, listen, I've given you everything to prevail. You're in a battle. You're in a battle for the souls of men. You see, it's the souls of men. You know, people say, well, if you don't accept Jesus, you're going to be lost. That's not a true statement. The fact is, you're already lost. You're not going to be lost. You are lost. And if you don't come to Christ, you will never be rescued from your lostness. We say that, well, you know, it's as if you're in some sort of neutral thing. I'm not saved, I'm not lost. No, you're already lost. And the battle is to rescue people from their lostness and to bring them into salvation. Now, I want to speak to you today about the tools or the weapons that God has given us to wage a successful warfare. But before I do that, I want to speak briefly to the church's current state of defeat and weakness. Why is that? Why is this, for lack of a better word, institution, or I should say this organism, that Jesus said he would build and the gates of hell would not prevail against it? Why is this organism that is supposed to represent his body, it is his body, his mystical body in the earth, why is it so defeated? Why is it so weak? And I believe the first reason is because we fail to recognize the battle. We fail to believe we're even in a battle. There's a failure to recognize and understand the spiritual forces behind the current conditions. We look at the current conditions, but we fail to see the one operating behind the scenes. We fail to see the man behind the curtain, you know? It's just this complete lack of understanding that one, spiritual force is at work, two, we're to be battling against them because that's what the church does, and that we've been given everything we need to wage a successful warfare. So a failure to understand spiritual forces behind the current conditions. I remember I shared this with you. I'm going to do it again because I repeat myself a lot. But I know it, you know it, and you're gracious, so thank you. But my brother Bob and I went to see the movie Nefarious, and it was about a man who had just kind of given place to the enemy, so much so that he was not really unlike the demoniac, of Gadara, who was cutting himself and screaming and, you know, and the enemy had such control, and the man that this demon had such control over was scheduled to be executed, and they needed to have the psychiatrist write off that he was competent enough to be able to be executed, that he wasn't declared insane, in which case then he would not be, you know, culpable to his crimes. And at times the man is speaking, at other times the demon is speaking through the man. It was an incredible film, just to kind of drive home this understanding of the demonic forces that are at work in the world. And at one point the psychiatrist says, well, I didn't realize we were at war. And the demon says, and that's why you're losing. Because you fail to recognize you're in a battle. I mean, the nation as a whole, and this might get me in trouble, but this is my own opinion. You can take it or accept, receive it or reject it. But I truly believe that the People's Republic of China, the Communist China government, has declared war on the United States. And the United States doesn't know it. And so if you don't know it, you're going to lose. We kind of dismiss things as life. You know, we accept things without question. I was talking to my sister-in-law, and she said, it's just the price of getting old. And I thought, why? Why do we just have to accept that? Well, that's just life. That's just the part of life. That's just the cost of getting old. It's like, so sickness, I should accept sickness because it's just the price of getting old. When God's taken care of my sickness and my disease. You see what I mean? So there's this failure to recognize there's a battle. I think the second reason is the failure to recognize and or employ the tools necessary for the battle, which means you've got to match firepower with firepower. You don't bring a water pistol to a knife fight. And you don't bring a knife to a pistol duel. You've got to match firepower with firepower. And so spiritual battles cannot be fought carnally. And the church has tried to do that for years. They've been bringing a knife to a duel. They've been bringing a water pistol to a knife fight. Because they've been trying to do the work of the kingdom carnally. They've been trying to battle carnally. Listen, social justice campaigns or petitioning political legislation is not going to win a spiritual battle. And I believe that's why the church is so weak. Paul would write to the Corinthians and he said, for though we walk in the flesh, which means we're walking in this body, we do not war according to the flesh. Why? Because you've got to match firepower with firepower. If it's a spiritual battle, you've got to come against it spiritually. So you've got to recognize there's a battle going on. And the fact that the church routinely either refuses or just in deception doesn't even believe there's a battle. Well, if you don't believe there's a battle, you're not going to fight. And so the church isn't fighting because it doesn't even recognize there's a battle. And if it does recognize there's a battle, now it's coming with the wrong weapon. And so we find ourselves defeated. We see the church in a state of decline, defeat, and weakness. We see the nation, as I said, it's like trying to bail out the Titanic. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. They don't pertain to this world. They don't pertain to the flesh. They're not dependent upon the strength of man or the wisdom of man, but they are mighty, they are powerful, they are more than capable through God to the pulling down of strongholds and the casting down of imaginations. And you know, that's where strongholds begin, in imaginations. It's in our mind. That's where every stronghold anyone ever established in their life, it started in their mind. We believe a lie. It starts with the lie. I mean, Satan was able to place a stronghold on the entire race because he got Eve and her husband Adam, who was with her, to believe a lie. And so we will believe a lie either about God or about ourselves. And then what happens is we will repeatedly act on that lie. So if I don't believe God is who God says he is, but I believe he's unjust, I believe he's unfair, I believe he's mean, I believe he's looking to punish me, I think, blah, blah, I don't believe he's holy. I think he's like us. That's where the Greeks got it all wrong. They created gods that were just like them. Romans did the same thing. Well, the gods are mischievous and they do all the sins we do, but they're God and they have all power. We're not. No. If I hold a false image of God and through an ungodly, demonically inspired present-day education system, I'm believing a lie about myself, that I'm really just a process, you know, that I'm a stage in an evolutionary process, and I wasn't created unique and distinct to bear the image of Almighty God, endowed with gifts and abilities that God has given me to bless the body of Christ, that I have eternal worth and value before a holy God, so much so that he sent his son. Well, then, based on that lie, I'm going to act on that lie. And I tell you, I heard a man say it once, and I'll repeat it because I think it's true. Henry Wright once quoted saying, every addiction, at the heart of every addiction, is the need to be loved. So people will get into all, you know, why do people look to pornography and things as such? They have a need for connection. Whether it's technological connection or artificial, you know, they either engage in any number of sins that become addictions and strongholds, either to feel love or to escape the pain of not feeling loved. And it all goes back to we believed a lie. So when the Word of God says, these are powerful to the pulling down of strongholds. Now, if you turn to Ephesians quick, and I'm just going to read through this quickly. Ephesians says, starting at verse 10 to verse 18, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. All right, amen? It's not your might. It's not carnal might. It's going to be by the power of the Spirit. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Why is the Bible telling us to put on the whole armor of God? Because we're in a battle. Oh, that's a nice scripture verse. I like reading that. No, it's like we're in a battle. And then he says, here's the battle. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood. It's not a carnal battle. It's not a natural battle. It's not on a physical realm. But against principalities. Those are those chief demons that oversee nations. Against powers, against the rulers in the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. So we're in a battle. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. Is God unjust or unfair if he tells you there's a battle, tells you how to wage the warfare, and then gives you the tools to do it, and you just decide not to? Is he unfair? Is he unjust? Is he a meanie? Well, why are you letting all this happen? Because no one's fighting. It says, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, having on the breastplate of righteousness, have your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all taking the shield of faith wherewith ye are able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, take the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. I'm going to preach about that one day, praying with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, watching therefore with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. Whenever there's a war, you're going to have casualties of war. You're going to have people who just die on the battlefield. I don't think God, when Jesus said, I've given you all power, and nothing shall by any means hurt you, that doesn't mean that we're not going to suffer loss. It doesn't mean you're not going to have tribulation. It doesn't mean you're not going to have persecution. What it means is you're going to survive this. You're going to survive it. You're going to be the one who gets to ride in the convertible in the ticker tape parade when the war's over, because you've survived it. But I'm seeing in the church today any number of people who failed to recognize they were in a battle. And now their faith is shipwrecked. They're not going to church. They're not praying. They're not reading. They're living like the world. It's basically they've died on the battlefield because they failed to recognize there was a battle. You have those. You have others who are wounded, but they're like, God, just let me get back in there. You know? Let me get back in there. And then you have the others that are like, I know it's a battle. I know the strategy. I've got the weapons. I've got the authority to use the all-prevailing name, and we're gonna take this hill. We're gonna take this hill. So 10 through 12, right? There's the verification of the spiritual warfare. Be strong in the Lord, the power of his might. Put on the whole armor that you may be standing against the wiles of the devil. We wrestle not flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world and spiritual wickedness in high places. And then it's the armor of protection. God's not sending you out vulnerable. He's given everything you need to be able to withstand it. And having done all to stand. But then I like the offensive weapons, and here are the weapons. In verses 17 and 18, and I'm only going to talk about 17 for just a few more moments. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. What the Holy Spirit will respond to is not your tears. He may sympathize with your tears, but the Spirit is not going to move on your tears. Will God sympathize with you? Yes. Does God care about you? Yes. But the sword of the Spirit is not your tears. The sword of the Spirit is the word of God. When Jesus engaged the enemy, he used the word. In fact, almost everything you read that Jesus said from his mouth in the New Testament, you will find in the Old Testament. All he did was speak what had been spoken by the Spirit before. And because when he said, I am truth, I speak the truth, and the Spirit of truth, which is the Holy Spirit, bears witness to the truth. And so he said, it is written, it is written, it is written. He gave us an example. The Holy Spirit bears witness to the truth of God's word. When Jesus said, thy word is truth. When he prayed, he said, sanctify them by thy truth. Thy word is truth. So, you know, tears is one thing. Is God moved by our tears? Yes. But does the Holy Spirit go? No. Because the sword of the Spirit, here's the weapon, is the word of God. Has God given you this word? Absolutely. Now, I like to liken it to this because almost everyone can identify with this. How many have ever bought a piece of exercise equipment? The whole country has. It's a billion-dollar business. We've all bought exercise equipment because we all were in a battle. And we were all going to use it. And we may have used it, and then we used it for something other than what it was intended for. Right? A clothes rack. Yeah, just put it up, hang clothes. Perfect. It's the most expensive clothes rack I've ever bought in my life. It's the same with this. God's like, listen, guys, I've given you a weapon. But if the weapon sits on a table somewhere and it doesn't get in here. You know, that's why Jesus said, if you abide in me and my word abides in you. What God expects us to do, the weapon of our warfare, is not carnal. It's not our own wisdom. It's not our own strength. It's not petitioning for social justice. Am I opposed to social justice? No. Am I against political legislation? No. But you are not going to legislate a revival. You're not going to legislate the regeneration of a spirit. You people can be good people and still lie under the power of the wicked one. Hell is filled with good people. It's filled with good people. And so, you know, think of when the Father spoke the word. It says at the beginning, the Holy Spirit brooded. It's almost as if the Holy Spirit's waiting for the word to be spoken. And once the Father spoke the word, the Spirit immediately moved to its fulfillment. So God says, it says the Spirit of the Lord is brooding on the earth. God says, let there be light. Boom, there's light. God said, let the earth bring forth. Boom, the earth brought forth. It was the Holy Spirit bringing forth what God had said. Now, we have the same authority because Jesus said, I've given you this authority. He said, you know, they came back and said, demons are subject to us in your name. He said, behold, I give you power to tread upon serpents and scorpions, over all the power of the enemy. Nothing shall by any means hurt you. I've given you this authority. Think of what, that's why in Mark chapter 16, when we look at what Jesus, just before he goes, he gives them a commission, and he says, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel, which means declare the word. Declare the good news. He said, he that believes and is baptized shall be saved, and he that believes not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils, they shall speak with new tongues. He says, they shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. There it is. There's the power. Nothing's going to hurt you. You're going to survive this. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. He said, and so, after that the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven and sat on the right hand of God, and they went forth and declared the good news. They spoke it. And preached everywhere, the Lord working with them, confirming the word with signs following. The Lord who? The Lord Father? The Lord Son? The Lord Holy Spirit. Because Jesus said, I'm going, but I'm going to send you another comforter just like me. Is the Father Lord? Is the Son Lord? Is Holy Spirit Lord? So the Lord worked them, confirming the word. Why? Because the Spirit's waiting for someone who'll speak the word in faith. But most Christians would rather look at the situation and lament it. It's like, please, I've given you the weapons. Just get in there and fight. I'm going to work with you. It's not going to be in your might. It's not going to be in your power. It's not going to be by your strength. It's by my strength. It's in my name. It's with my weapons. It's by the power of my spirit. I'll confirm the word. Just declare the word. As Brother Bimba shared last Sunday, the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. The root cause of America's issues, I believe, is a failure to preach the gospel. We can say, well, it's the education system, it's bad. It's media, it's bad. Entertainment, it's bad. Politics, it's bad. Church, it's bad. Because it has failed to continue. It became involved, and you see this more in liberal churches, it became more involved in social justice than the regeneration of men's souls. It became more involved in political reform than the reformation of the whole being. And it began to preach the wisdom of men. Jonathan Cahn has a book, The Return of the Gods. What was it that drove out the gods of the nations It was the preaching of the gospel. And why have all those gods returned to the United States? Because of a failure to declare the word. And when people say, well, why isn't God doing something? He's waiting on us. He's waiting on us to declare the word so the Spirit can bear witness to the truth, confirm the word with signs and wonders. We need to, closing with this, we need to declare the word of God in our arena of battle. So there's certain battlefields, right? So where's your area of battle? Is it in your body with sickness? You need to declare the word of the Lord. And this is what I was trying to get at with my sister-in-law. Don't just accept it. Just say, well, I'm getting old. This is what happens. No! There's absolutely no reason why we should not depart from this world in full vigor and in good health. Moses was 120. It says his eye was not dim, his natural force was not abated. Now, granted, he spent a lot of time in the manifest presence of God, but we can too. Door's been opened, the veil's been rent. Joshua, Caleb were at least 80. When they went into the promised land, Caleb said, give me that mountain. I feel as well at 80 as I did when I was 40, and I'm ready to go take it. Why can't we speak the word of God over our sickness? Why can't we speak the word of God over poverty? Why can't we declare, this is what the word of the Lord says regarding family. This is what the word of the Lord says regarding my children. This is what the word of the Lord says regarding sickness and disease. You bore my sickness. You bore my disease. You carried it away. That's one of your benefits. I'm declaring the word of the Lord. When the doctor said they wanted to amputate one of my toes, I said, over my dead body. Because the very word shalom means nothing broken, nothing missing. So last week, Mary, you were with me. I said, Joseph, just anoint me with oil and pray over my feet. And when he did, I said, okay, I did all I'm supposed to do. I'm supposed to call on the elders. I'm supposed to be anointed with oil. They pray the prayer of faith. God says he's healed it. That's what the word of God says. So now I get a shooting pain. I'm like, you're lying to me. You're lying to me. Because I'm healed. The word of the Lord says, if I'll pray, they'll pray. I believe it. God will heal me. Not he might heal me. He could heal you. He will heal you. He bore my sickness. He bore my disease. And now 6 days later, there's no swelling at all. And the toe they wanted to take, I said, if you take the toe, we'll never heal. No, that toe stays. But you got to speak the word. You can't go by the symptoms. You can't go by the natural because it's not a natural battle. So where are you fighting? What's your arena? Is it relational with someone? Is it poverty? Is it sickness? Is it mental? Well, you know, I'm just getting forgetful. That's just life. No! For God's not given me a spirit of fear, but power, love, and a sound mind. I'm going to quit here. I wanted to go into 1 Timothy 1:18, but I'm going to talk about the prophetic declarations because Paul says, remember, Timothy, those prophetic declarations over your life and use them to wage a good warfare. We'll talk about that another time. But you may say, where do I start? Golly, guys, just start. Just start in the things you absolutely know to be true. I declare in the name of Jesus that this good work that God has begun in me, he is faithful to complete it unto the day of Christ Jesus. I declare that God has a plan for me. It's a good plan. It's not a plan for evil. It's not a plan for harm. But it's to prosper me, and it's to give me a hope, and it's to give me a future. I declare that I shall not die, but I will live, and I will declare the word of the Lord, and I will walk in my destiny. I declare what the word of God says because it's the only thing the Spirit is obligated to bear witness to. And that's why Jesus said, preach the word. That's why Jesus said, preach the good news. Declare the word of the Lord. And so, beloved, there's other weapons. God's given us a weapon. And we need to start declaring things over our own life. And we need to start declaring things over the church. We need to start declaring things over the nation. Because, again, if we fail to recognize we're in a battle, you've already lost it. Because you're being attacked and you're just, well, that's life. Who says? Well, you're just getting older. Yes, thank God. But who says that means that? In fact, the Word of God says that in my old age, I will be fruitful and flourishing. I don't want to be fruitful with kids. But I want to be fruitful in bearing the fruit of the Spirit. I want to be productive. I want to be, as the Word of God says, fat and flourishing in my old age. And if Moses could go out in full strength, Smith Wigglesworth was the same way. 87 years old, preached a message, went, sat down, the Lord took him home. Not an ache, not a pain. We just accept things rather than battle for the victory. So, Wayne, I'm declaring full vigor, full healing, vitality and strength and flourishing for you until the very day that God's ordained to bring you home to your reward. I'm declaring that for you. In fact, we want to pray for you right now. Yeah. Amen.
Heavenly Father, we thank you for your Son, your servant, our brother.
Yes.
And Lord, a battle has raged in our brother.
Yes.
Lord, we know that when one is waging war in their physical body, Lord, it can't help but affect, Lord, our emotions.
Yes.
To bring us into discouragement, maybe even despair. But Lord, we anoint our brother with oil as elders, and we declare healing,
yes,
and vitality. Before by your stripes, Lord, your servant was healed.
Yes.
Lord, we pray the word of God that you bore his sickness, you bore his disease, you carried it away. And Lord, we don't know how many days you've laid out for Wayne. The word of God says all his days are known to you before there was yet one. But Lord, what we are believing for and declaring that our brother will go out with sound mind, sound body, Lord, strong in the faith,
yes,
and flourishing in the things of God. Lord, if there's any discouragement, any stronghold that's come in because of a persisting battle, that, Lord, you would restore the joy of salvation to our brother.
Yes.
That, Lord God, you would cause sickness, disease, depression, discouragement to go. We command them to go in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
And Holy Spirit, we look up to you to bear witness to the truth and to bring forth in our brother a soundness,
yes, Lord,
in mind and body. In Jesus' name,
yes.
Amen.
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 Amen. Amen.
And Wayne, God has given to you days that were ordained, but we're praying that you will have more than the days that were preordained for you. Receive everything that's been said and then given to you in the name of Jesus Christ,
yes,
because you've been given power and authority to serve him, and greater is he who lives within you than he.
Amen. 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 Amen.
Praise the Lord. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just ask that we as a people would not neglect your word. It is so easy to become distracted. I think that the number one tool of the enemy is simply to distract the people of God. Lord, help us not to be distracted from your word, but to read it with reverence, to read it with ears desiring to hear what you have to say. And Lord, speak to us through your word. Lord, grant unto us a promise. Lord, where we are fighting a battle, Lord, bring us to those passages of Scripture that we can declare in faith, trusting that the Spirit himself will bear witness to the truth we speak. Lord, help us not to be weak in our faith, but as Paul wrote to the church, help us to endure hardness like a good soldier of Jesus Christ. And Lord, we are trusting that, Lord, we shall prevail to the preserving of our own souls, the saving of the souls of family and loved ones and neighbors, the salvation of a nation, and the flourishing of a church. Father, for this we give you praise. We give you glory and we give you honor. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Hallelujah. If anyone does have need of prayer, you know,